Hey, fans, welcome once again to the Fair But Firm Boxing Talk Show with my sidekick here, John Zemel. John, this coming weekend, another good weekend of boxing.
Yes, sir.
We talked about it last week. Leo Santa Cruz and Abdelmadis fighting on the same card, defending their titles.
Yeah, they were supposed to fight each other.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Look, they have to win these fights Saturday night.
Nah, it'll be even more exciting.
They're going to be fighting, Leo Santa Cruz fighting a Chris Avalos. Mm-hmm. Who has a good record of 27 and 5.
Yeah, he's got 20 big knockouts, though.
Yeah, not bad. And Abdelmadis is fighting Andres Gutierrez, 35-1, one with 25 knockouts.
Yeah, so that's a real good record.
It's pretty good. So it's going to be a good night of boxing. And Madis, you know, has a good comeback after losing to Leo Santa Cruz. And he got the other title back. So it's going to be a good night of fighting. I think that... the fight fans wanted to see it happen this year, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, it should happen again. I mean, I think everybody really liked the first fight. I mean, it happened 2 years ago in 2015, and they've been working to get that rematch since then. It was majority decision. There was a little bit of controversy. I thought they scored it the right way, but you never know.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one at the beginning of 2018. I don't know, probably Cinco de Mayo weekend.
That'd be a good fight. That'd be a real good fight. I mean, as long as these two show up this Saturday and they put in work, both of them, then I think we got a real good setup for that rematch. Not that we need any more hype from it, to be honest, after that last fight we saw. But still, any more hype is good hype, and I hope the fans, appreciate this one, because the next one's going to be lights out.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely a good weekend of boxing. This coming Saturday from California, from Carson, California. And we talked about Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo, actually, we talked about that last time when Canelo Alvarez and fought a draw against Golovkin.
Yeah.
We talked about Cinco de Mayo next year, so maybe the Abdelmadis and Leo Santa Cruz, if they get by these opponents Saturday night.
That'd be a good undercard.
Yeah, they'll be able. Well, it could be a good undercard, or maybe
a lead-up fight.
Maybe in February, maybe.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah, but can you imagine having those three fights on the same card?
Look at this. Oh, my God, it'd be insane.
Actually, two fights.
Yeah, but then who knows what else they'll add.
Yeah, you never know.
There's so many good fights right now. There's so many good fighters.
Yeah, but I don't think they want to put them all on the same card because...
Yeah, space them out.
Yeah,
here's the deal. People are already going to buy the Canelo Triple G fight.
Yeah, that's a question about
you can put any bums on that undercard, and people are still going to buy that fight.
I don't call them bums. I call them palookas. No. I call them palookas.
Yeah, but you could. You know, you don't need to have... You know, you don't need to stack that. It's not the UFC. The main card will sell enough.
You know, UFC is pretty good. It was the first time.
You were telling me about that. How much fun was
it? It was fun. I enjoyed it. You know, I saw this guy, Lee, lose to...
Ferguson.
To Ferguson, And then Lee came out there all confident, dancing and all hip-hop and all that. Then he had to tap out, man.
Did you see him training at Mayweather's gym the weekend before that?
No, I didn't see that.
He got beat up pretty good at Mayweather's gym.
Really?
But actually, on the undercard, not to dwell on UFC, but the guy right before him, the co-main event, Demetrius Johnson. They call him Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, I saw him fight. The only UFC fight I ever went to, I saw him fight, and he's exciting to me, man. He's like 105 pounds, and he's just a beast.
Yeah, he was all over the place. He was slipping in, slipping out, moving. I can see what they call him. What they call him?
Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse. I call him Slippery Mouse. He could get in and out.
That was crazy.
He was crazy.
He put that guy in the armbar.
Yeah.
And he was like falling down.
Right.
And by the time he landed, he was already in the armbar. The fight was over. It was just crazy.
It was really crazy.
Yeah.
But it was competitive, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, it's fun. It's fun to watch that. And it's crazy because, taking a parallel there, when you look at that weight division, you take that same weight division in our sport, in boxing.
Right.
It's looking better than it's ever looked.
Exactly. You know, well, it's funny how these guys want to. They have one of these little gloves. They're like 4 ounces.
Oh yeah, they're
gloves.
Like,
they're nothing.
Crazy.
They're nothing, man.
Nah, they don't do anything. All they do is protect the knuckles. They don't do anything for your face.
Exactly. Now talking about MMA, I just read recently that Ruben's going out there. Roy Jones Jr. wants to fight MMA.
I know.
I don't know about that. I think Roy Jones should just stay where he's at. He's a great sports commentator.
He is on
HBO. He should stick with that. He's a good guy. I like him, and he left his mark in boxing. I don't see him get destroyed and do something
in MMA.
MMA is not cut out for him.
No, it's not made for everybody. Because, man. Nothing but love for Roy Jones Jr. Yeah. I loved watching him growing up, and I really don't want to see that.
Yeah, I could see these guys getting in there and boxing and have good skills, but when they get grabbed by one of these guys.
Oh my God.
You gotta grab you by the leg.
You have no idea what to do. What did you train 6 months? It's like watching McGregor out there trying to, and at least he boxes in UFC. You know what I mean? These guys that have never kicked anyone.
But you know, I was noticing Saturday night that these guys are starting to move a little bit more, like more picking up a little bit more of the boxing style.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it is that, I mean, that's what sells, man. When you see the guys that punch, that fight, that box, like a McGregor or a lot of these other guys, they sell a lot more than the guys who wrestle the whole time.
Absolutely. No, these guys, they really show you, they have a lot. They have a lot of skills and they have a lot of, I don't know about the stamina. I was watching these guys fighting these 3 5-minute rounds.
Yeah.
And for the championship, there were 5 5-minute rounds. And they had the girls, too.
Oh, yeah. The girls are vicious.
Yeah, they were vicious.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's good to see. You know, it's exciting. And I don't know if I want to see, like I said, see Roy Jones going into it.
Nah, man, he's got a good career as an announcer. Like you were saying. Actually, speaking of announcers, let's give a shout out to Jim Lampley. Just got his multi-year extension. Yeah, we love watching him do what he does.
Yeah,
and
he's great. He's great.
We look forward to him doing it for a few more years, man.
Yeah, he got a good 5-year extension. It very well deserved.
Oh my goodness.
He calls it the way it is.
Yeah, I like hearing his voice.
Oh, yeah, he's great. He's great. Everybody loves Jim Lampley.
Yeah, good for you, Jim Lampley.
Yeah. And then this past weekend, he had Chris Eubank Jr.
He put work in this weekend. He impressed me more than he ever has. That was the best he's ever looked.
Yeah, he fought a Turkish fighter.
Avni Yildirim.
Yeah, he was 16-1 with 10 knockouts.
Yeah, he was 16-0 until this happened.
Yeah, now he's Chris Eubank. I remember refereeing his father.
Yeah?
Back in the days, back in Europe, I refereed Chris Eubank. And he was, matter of fact, I refereed him against... what's his name? Joe Calzaghe.
Really?
Yeah. It was a good fight, and Joe Calzaghe beat him. And I mean, you know, Joe Calzaghe retired undefeated.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, it was a good fight, good memory. But Chris Eubank was telling me a couple of months ago. He said, "Joe, you got to see my son. He's better than me."
I'll tell you what, Chris Eubanks. It's funny how Chris Eubanks senior, how like different generations remember different things, because like. Older generation, I mean, I remember growing up watching Chris Eubanks, and he was a stud out there, man. Just an assassin. And he, you know, with the posing and the whole thing.
Right.
He put on a show.
He did.
And now the younger generation, I talk to fight fans my age, and it's like they're mad at Chris Eubanks Sr. because he stopped the junior fight, stopped Junior from fighting Triple G.
Right.
Which, you know what I mean, was like probably the best interest for him, because he would have gotten smashed by Triple G.
Well, you know, it's just like Oscar didn't want Canelo to fight.
That's exactly it. It's about managing a career, man.
Yeah, you got to manage them properly. Move them up carefully. Make sure you position your fighter at the right time, right place, right time, you know, and then you get a better chance.
I'll tell you, he's a super middleweight fighter, and he's always been fast, that Eubanks Jr. Yeah. But this last fight, I mean, he looked so good against that Turkish fighter.
Yeah, he showed some power.
Oh, my God, he looked like a super middleweight power puncher. Yeah. I mean, the guy's got power, he's got speed.
Yeah, I want to see a little bit more defense on him.
No, I agree, and a little more accuracy in those punches.
Yeah, he has a good power, and a lot of speed, good power. But not enough defense.
No. I want to see him.
And that's what scares me about him. You know, he can.
Yeah.
He has great potential and can get knocked off.
Well, you know, they're saying the next fight is going to be against George Groves. And that'll be a test. He'll be able to see.
Well, you know, George Groves been around. He's a good fighter.
Mm-hmm.
He has a 26-3 record.
Yeah.
And 19 knockouts. So he's like I said, most likely to be his next opponent.
And it should be fun, man.
Yeah, which would be a good fight. That fight will probably happen sometime early next year.
They said that. They said January.
January.
I mean, I guess there was supposed to be a stadium deal for January in England.
Yeah.
Because I guess they're both from England. I think they both are. I know that Eubanks is.
Yeah.
But... I guess the stadium deal fell through, but they're still trying to make the January fight happen. We don't know what's going on, but I'd like to see the two of them fight early next year.
Yeah, those fights are early January to me. I don't know. They guys, they want to maybe party a little too much Christmas, New Year's, and not quite good shape.
At the same time, though, we had such a good 2017 for boxing. I mean, so good. We had some really, really good fights, and we're going out on such an awesome note with some of these monsters out there with these big heavyweight fights, with Wilder's fight and Joshua's fight, even Cotto's final hurrah.
Yeah, well, you know, Cotto's fighting us in December 2nd in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that deal with him and MSG is already done. He says it'll be his swan song.
Yeah, well, you know, Ali, the 25-1 record with 14 knockouts. He's decent.
They just agreed to a verbal agreement today. Yeah. So it looks pretty much like that's the fight that's going to happen. Yeah, the guy can fight.
And I think that's a good fight for Cotto to go out. I don't want to see him fight a super middleweight or middleweight because, you know, Cotto's really a... he's a small welterweight. He's not. He's a solid welterweight.
I agree with you.
Anything above that, he's looking for danger. You know?
We've all seen him do that. We've seen him move up in the past. Yeah,
he's
just not.
Yeah, and you see what has happened. So
exactly, man.
Maybe it's best that he stays at that weight.
And Saddam Ali, he's a Yemen descent. He's a good fighter. I mean, it should be a good. It's a nice. I'd like to see Cotto fight one last time, and then I'm happy as anybody else to see him hang it up. Just because, you know, I mean, he had a great career. Let him go out. He's a Hall of Famer, and you know, do what he's done.
Yeah, yeah. Now we talked about the super flyweight card, the two card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And out there,
the Inouye. They say he's probably not going to be on it. No. Which he was a super. I mean, he was a highlight of that first one. Yeah. He came out and really shocked the world. That's a guy with a monster knockout punch for a flyweight. And for him to not be on this next card, you know what though? I think he'll probably fight the winner of Estrada and Rungvisai. If those two fight, and I think that'll be a really good.
You know, that's probably the way to setting it up. That's probably why he's not.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, save him for a better.
Either way, I'm looking forward to Superfly 2, because Superfly 1 was so much fun.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chocolatito, everybody was on that fight, man, or on that card.
Unbelievable. It was a great card, and Chocolatito is looking to come back again.
Oh, yeah, they were saying he said he wants to win another title. Yeah. Probably drop back down to his natural weight.
Yeah, 105 pounds was better for him.
He
would perform better. He outclassed these guys. When he went up to the other division,
Rungvisai.
Rungvisai, yeah, man.
That first fight was obviously controversial. But
yeah, but the second one, he got knocked out.
It was not controversial.
Pretty bad.
Back to back knockdowns, and he was done. Yeah, stretcher the whole thing.
Yeah, so it's best that he goes back to his natural weight, 105.
He says he wants to close out with a trilogy fight against Rungvisai. Yeah, well, probably close his career.
Yeah, but he's going to have to prove himself with his next opponent.
I agree. I want to see him get his confidence back first. Yeah, I would hate to see him just come right back in that.
Yeah, if he comes back and gets knocked out again from this guy,
it's over.
It could be.
It might
girlfriend.
Already be over. Yeah, yeah. After that, we all saw how that last one ended. It was sad.
Yeah, it was. Now, talking on a sad note, what happened recently, the gym was closed down, the Kronk
Gym. Yeah, in Detroit, man.
Yeah, it was closed down for a while, but that was a legendary location.
That's a piece of boxing history. Man.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the greatest, Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, Vladimir Klitschko.
And the most famous of all, I think, was Tommy Hearns.
Tommy Hearns was like, that was his gym. Yeah, that's where he came from. Exactly. That was his baby. They said they had over 40 world champions.
Yeah, Tommy Hearns called it his home. You know?
Yeah, man. It was. That's a bummer. And I want to shout out to all those champs that came through there. And that's a sad piece of boxing history to get burned down. Like we said, it was vacant at the time. But, you know, because I guess they moved locations like 2006, I think.
Yeah.
But still, you know, you hate seeing stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, ever since Manuel Stewart, may his soul rest in peace, he was a great trainer.
Yes, he was.
And a great friend of mine. I mean, we fought in the same tournaments back in the 61 for the National Golden Glove Championships.
Is it true? Yeah. That's exciting.
He lost to a guy named Oscar German, a bantamweight. Bantamweight was a bantamweight like myself. He lost to a Oscar German. I ended up beating Oscar German.
There it is.
For the National Golden Gloves, New York versus Chicago tournament.
Oh, that's awesome, actually.
It was called back then, it was National Golden Glove Championship. Yeah. But they came up with a National USA National Championship. But it was a different
tournament.
That's
boxing for you, yeah.
It was a different tournament. Something like the sanctioning body.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
You break them up, you don't know who's champion, what division.
That's exactly what's happening. That's like what's happening with Ortiz right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, Luis Ortiz, he got suspended for testing positive for some drugs.
Yeah, it's like the third time. So he was supposed to be, he was the mandatory challenger for WBC. Well, actually, no, he wasn't the mandatory, it was Stiverne.
Right.
But he agreed to fight for the WBC and then lost that fight because of the test.
Right.
And then now they're saying he might end up being the WBA mandatory challenger for Anthony Joshua if Joshua wins his next fight, which we all believe he probably will.
Well, let's see, you know, it's a lot of crazy things happening out there.
No, it really is.
I mean, one time anybody says no, the other one says yes.
That's how it goes.
But it's the manager said that there's a reason why he tested positive with some drugs he's taking for
high blood pressure.
Yeah. But anyway, let's see what happens. I wish him all the best.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And it's just weird how that happens with the sanctioning bodies. They're not on the same page. We talked about that at length in the past, but it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And now we have the WBO, they're ordering
the Lemieux fight?
Yeah, De La Move.
Lemieux versus Billy Joe Saunders.
Yeah, yeah.
That should be good.
It would be a good fight, you know. Lemieux has a record of 38 38-3 with 33 big knockouts.
Oh, yeah.
And Saunders has 25.
Yeah, he's been an assassin. I mean, not really a big power puncher, only 12 knockouts in his 25 fights, but the guy just gets stuff done. He just came off of that big September decision.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's been doing well. We all like him. They don't know if this fight's going to happen yet, but WBO ordered it, so it's the mandatory, you know how that is. And they have till the November 9th to reach a deal, they say. We'll see how it goes. But they were talking December fight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's see what happens. You know, it's going to be good. It's going to wrap up the year 2017. Oh my God, I know.
Isn't that just... what a great year we've had.
Yeah, it was a great one. One of the better ones in the last couple of
years. Yeah, we're going to have to do a recap at some point just of what the great year was.
Exactly. Now, I think that 2018 is going to bring a lot of big fights, a lot of interesting fights because of the... the talent that's there now.
This year was a setup year for next year.
You know, there's a lot of young fighters, unknown fighters out there that the fans don't even know about. I'm not going to mention the names for another couple of weeks, but start bringing out the names of the young talent that's coming up. But a lot of young talent, a lot of European fighters.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of fighters in Latin America. They're all coming up.
Even Asian America, man. There's a lot of these guys. You look at Rungvisai or Inouye. Yeah. There are a lot of these guys that come out and they got knockout power at the size of 105, 115. It's insane.
These guys, they're punches, you know?
It's crazy.
They really punch.
You didn't see that back in the day from those weight classes.
Yeah, exactly. And if we know we got Lomachenko.
Oh, my goodness.
You got Guillermo Regendahl.
Oh.
And you have so many other young talent coming up. It's just great. I mean, talking about Lomachenko once again. Lomachenko with only, 11 fights?
10-1.
10-1. Wow. The only loss was to Salido.
Yes, sir.
Orlando Salido's second fight. Yeah.
I'd like to see that rematch at some point, too. Oh, yeah. I agree.
I know Salido wants it because he said, come on, man. You know, before he packs it, he's getting up in age.
Exactly. Imagine if you're the only loss to this guy who's considered the pound for pound and he won't fight you again.
Come on, fight him.
And you're going, come on.
Yeah, it's got to happen. Anyway, guys, it is a great week of boxing. We still keep a lot of stuff going, and we keep talking about these fights that are coming up. But, you know, the other night, when I went to that UFC fight, I was watching these heavyweights. And I said, you know what? If Mike Tyson was in here with these guys, Mike Tyson would probably rip their heads right off their shoulders. Because Mike Tyson has so much power. So much combination. He was so quick in that ring. I said, these guys are MMA, the heavyweight guys?
Oh, my God.
I don't think they would stand a chance.
It's not even close.
They would be afraid to even get close to Mike Tyson.
Because here's the deal. Even if you try to dive in on him. Yeah. I mean, listen to what we're saying here. How many people in history could ever go to toe with Mike Tyson? In any sport. There's so few people. I mean, if you look at him, I mean, really, what are we talking? Ali? What are we talking?
Larry Holmes.
Buster Douglas.
Yeah. But, you know, he has a good heavyweights back in the days.
Oh, my God,
Ernie Shavers. You had George Chavallo.
Oh, yeah. There's been a lot of
Jimmy
really good
Quarry,
heavyweights.
Ken Norton. And all these guys, they were all at the same time, you know?
Oh, my God. It was like the Fab Four in the 80s with, obviously, Hearns and Leonard and Duran. Hagler.
Yeah. But in the boxing game today, I'll tell you this, we've got to build it up more, especially the heavyweight division.
Well, that's what we're getting, man. That's one thing that the heavyweight division looks better than it has in a long time. The Klitschko's ran it forever.
Yeah.
But now we got Wilder and Joshua, and they're outspoken.
Yeah, but that's only two. We need more.
Yeah, I agree.
We need more than two. Luis Ortiz, okay, he's there, but you know what? But when these guys get bumped off, then what?
Exactly.
You got to wait another 10 years to get another heavyweight?
No, you're right, man.
You know? So I think that letting these guys talk in the fight game is good. The heavyweights, you know, Klitschko, they're out of the game now, and you have Wilder. Wilder's good. You know, he's an outstanding heavyweight. Joshua, he kind of put a little spark to the division now.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that what's happening now with the heavyweight division, it's starting to get there, but I think we still need another three or four more good heavyweights to make it.
They say a lot of that is attributed to, like, the rise of football and basketball. Yeah. Where if you're 6'6", like Anthony Joshua, now he grew up in England. If he grew up in America, who knows? He'd be playing shooting guard for the Pistons right now.
Yeah, well, he got himself to a nice career in boxing.
I like the rivalry they have because on one hand you got Wilder, who's exciting and talks a lot. he's out there. He's jabbering. He's 38-0 with 37 knockouts.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, you have the fans' favorite. You got Anthony Joshua. These are people that all the real, you know, the so-called real fight fans, they love Anthony Joshua. He fights the right way. He's 19-0 with 19 knockouts. I mean, these are two guys who have totally different fan bases, totally different followings, and they're on a collision course that makes it just so much fun.
Yeah, definitely, it's got to happen in 2018.
Oh, I really hope so.
Because one of them gets bumped off, they got a big paycheck. These guys fight right now. They stand each to make at least $30-40 million
a piece. Oh, my God, yes. It's such an exciting fight. Now, and you could talk trilogy.
Now, where would that fight take place? Would that fight take place in Europe? Would it take place in the United States? I think that kind of a fight should take place here in the United States. And if it's a good one, they have to rematch back in
England?
Yeah, back in England someplace. Yeah.
That's what Wilder said. He said if Joshua wants to be an international superstar, he's got to come to America and fight him here.
Exactly.
That's what I would say, too.
It's going to be a lot of fun, I mean, watching these heavyweight divisions. And, of course, you know, getting the middleweight division to get going again, the middleweight, the lightweight division. I remember the lightweight division when you had, first it was Roberto Duran working his way up.
Oh, yeah.
And you had... we fought Benitez in the welterweight division, and you had so many good fighters out there. You had some of the great ones, and now we're getting another batch of new talent in the lightweight, welterweight, middleweight, even the light heavyweight division. They're all coming. Yeah. But you know what surprised me the most? The little guys.
Oh, those flyweights, man!
The little flyweights, man. They like. Unbelievable.
This is the best generation of flyweights I've ever seen in my lifetime. It's crazy watching these guys come up and just be monsters. That's why that Superfly, the first card, was such a draw. And everyone's looking so forward to the next one. No one had any idea that these little guys had so much. I mean, you know, of course, fight fans did, but a lot of, you know, the casual fans, they had no idea what was going on in that division.
Exactly. Talking about comebacks. The different divisions. How about Mike Tyson coming back now with his show?
Which show is that?
The Undisputed Truth number 2.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, that's at the MGM Hotel in Las Vegas. And it's getting a sellout every time he performs out there.
I know. I wanted to watch the first one. He was on Broadway first before he came to Vegas. Yeah, and then he did the whole Undisputed in Vegas.
Yeah, and the fans kind of, you know, get to know Mike a little bit better on the real Mike Tyson, what's going on behind the scenes. A lot of stuff that you didn't know before, you see now the truth about.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Tyson.
That guy's stories are crazy.
He went through hell, you know, coming up as a youngster, coming up in the amateur ranks, up into the Custodio Model when he had him up in the Catskills, New York, training him and made him the youngest heavyweight champion of the world.
And he was just, I mean, you look at this guy, you look at where he comes from, you look at who he is. And he's got more money than anything. He's the youngest heavyweight champion of all time, and he's got no one and nothing, and all he can do is just keep fighting and spending and I mean, you know, what everything else. Yeah. I mean, the guy was, he's such a crazy figure in boxing history and just American history.
Yeah, it's going to be, he was an amazing young man coming up. I had the honor of refereeing 9 of his fights.
9 of them?
Yeah, especially with him coming up, including his last fight. And then, of course, when he knocked out Larry Holmes.
Yeah.
Which was a sad night for Larry Holmes.
What was that like being in the ring with a young Mike Tyson?
Well, I'll tell you, young Mike Tyson, he was brutal, you know.
For sure.
He was so quick and his punching power was second to none. He could really knock your head right off your shoulders, I mean. And I was always afraid that he would hit the guys. He might be an MMA guy, hit you, and when you go down, he's going to hit you again because Mike had that. He had that killer instinct. He wanted to go after you, and he was so quick. You had to jump in real quick to make sure he didn't hit the guy. He never did, but sometimes he kind of like cocked his arm back, ready to hit you, and then he hold back. But he was an exciting fighter to referee, and
unquestionably, man.
Yeah. And I see him today, and we see each other. He always
I always see you guys in pictures together.
He always embraces me and like you know, he's like, yeah, Joe, yeah, you were an inspiration. He said, I remember talking to you when I was 13 years old. He said. And I came up to you, and you gave me a couple of good words of advice and told me if you stay on the right track, Mike, you'll be okay. You'll be a champion one day. Just keep it cool and be level-headed and don't go crazy out there. That's when he was 13.
Yeah, he listened to you for a little bit.
He listened to me a little bit, but he always remembered those words he told me one day. Joe, I don't know if you remember, the first time I met you, I was 13 years old. I said, really, yeah? Because I talked to a lot of young folks out there. He happened to be one of them. Who really turned out to be one of the great ones.
He really did, man.
All right, guys, listen, this is it for this week. We'll talk to you next week on the Fair But Firm Boxing Talk Show. Joe Cortez and John Zamahe.